On Tuesday's front page, two major donors to President Obama's campaign are brothers of a Mexican fugitive. Juan Jose Rojas Cardonas fled drug and fraud charges. He's been seeking a pardon. Palestinian factions agreed on a deal for an interim unity government led by Mahmoud Abbas. And the U.S. Constitution was once a model for democracies worldwide. A new study finds they're drawing on newer ways to say, "We the people." I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says President Obama's re-election campaign got more than $200,000 thanks to two brothers of a Mexican fugitive. Juan Jose Rojas Cardona jumped bail in Iowa in 1994. He's been linked to drug violence and corruption in Mexico, but he's hoping for a pardon that would let him come back to the U.S. His brothers live in Chicago, but one operates an ad agency in Mexico that's worked for political candidates he has backed. The Obama administration says it's refunding all of the money raised or contributed by the Cardonas. Also on Tuesday's front page, the president is signaling he wants big Democratic donors to start contributing to a so-called super PAC. That's an about-face for Mr. Obama, but he's at a disadvantage financially on that front. Aides say he signed off on a plan to get word to donors they should support Priorities USA. That's the leading Democratic super PAC. But so far, its fundraising has been dwarfed by Republican competitors. In Iran, economic tensions are taking their toll as Washington moves to tighten sanctions. The Tehran government has raised the exchange rate and sent police after black marketeers. But confidence in Iran's currency is collapsing. Many Iranians have converted their assets into dollars. In the face of the new sanctions, some people there have also stockpiled months' worth of food. Tuesday's Times says Palestinian factions agreed on a unity deal involving the Palestinian Authority and the Islamist movement Hamas. As Times reporter Ethan Bronner explains, Fatah and Hamas said on Monday they're forming an interim unity government led by Mahmoud Abbas.
The idea originally was to have a technocratic, unaffiliated government. That has been difficult for the two movements to agree on, and they have now come to the agreement that it will be President Abbas, although he's Mr. Fatah, that he is going to lead this government. The announcement said that the two of them would meet again in Cairo on the 18th of February with an announcement of the full government and a schedule for elections.
Times reporter Ethan Bronner. Those elections probably won't take place this spring, and the unity deal could upend Israeli-Palestinian relations. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Abbas could have peace with Israel or unity with Hamas, but not both. He called Hamas an Iranian-backed terror organization committed to destroying Israel. When he came home from World War II, Dwight D. Eisenhower said he was just a barefoot boy from Kansas. The design for the new Eisenhower Memorial in Washington shows him just that way, barefoot, surrounded by his grown-up accomplishments. Tuesday's Times says his descendants don't like it. Neither does the National Civic Art Society. It says the design mocks Eisenhower as cornpone-in-chief and supreme allied bumpkin. It used to be that constitutions around the world were modeled on the U.S. Constitution. You know, the one adopted in Philadelphia in 1787. A new study says the U.S. Constitution is losing its appeal as a model for democracies abroad. The two professors who did the study say foreign constitutions have less in common with the U.S. Constitution now than at the end of World War II. Professor David Law of Washington University in St. Louis says 21st century governments can draw on newer and more powerful operating systems. He says nobody wants to copy Windows 3.1. when there's Windows 7. Inside Tuesday's Times, Pakistan's powerful spy agency is facing court challenges. One goes all the way back to the 1990 election and allegations of vote rigging. Another case scheduled for Wednesday involves seven militants the intelligence service detained in 2010. The court wants them front and center. It's also demanding an explanation for the deaths of four other detainees. The Obama administration closed the U.S. embassy in Syria as the violence escalated. Correspondent Anthony Shadid says the embassy staff apparently moved to Jordan.
The closing of the embassy itself is a very symbolic move, one sure to have reverberations with other diplomatic staffs still in Damascus. Syrian forces shelled again Syria's third largest city, the city of Homs, near the Lebanese border, a place that has emerged as an epicenter of the uprising since it erupted nearly 11 months ago. The shelling at Homs follows one of the worst attacks since the uprising began. Opposition activists accused the government of shelling Homs overnight on Friday and Saturday, killing perhaps more than 200 people in what would be one of the bloodiest episodes of the uprising so far. To many residents inside Syria, to activists, to analysts, and even diplomats, the trajectory of Syria's uprising seems to be grim. Violence seems to be growing as the government pursues its crackdown. Opponents of the government have resorted to arms in greater and greater numbers. There seems to be no diplomatic effort out there that stands a really good chance of success.
Correspondent Anthony Shadid. In this country, the Chicago police are teaching officers to write more than incident reports. 25 police officers are taking a workshop on writing a novel. Not all of them dream of turning out crime thrillers. Some are thinking of children's stories. One cop wants to modernize stories from the Bible by tying them to incidents from modern-day police work. Tuesday is Parade Day here in New York. The New York Giants will celebrate their victory in the Super Bowl with a ticker tape parade. Not everyone is happy. Iraq war veterans say it's time for their parade. Mayor Michael Bloomberg says the Pentagon advised against scheduling that parade while soldiers are still in Afghanistan. The Pentagon says it's too soon. Repairs straightened the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Well, only somewhat. But Guinness World Records says a tower at a church in Germany is now more tilted. Tuesday's Times says a 12th century tower in Switzerland could take the title away. It's in the ski resort of San Moritz. It not only leans, it's on ground that shifts every few years. That means hydraulic jacks have to be brought in to straighten it up, but not too much. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.